Picture this. It's 1938. You work for the Works Progress Administration in Tennessee. The Depression has your family barely scraping by, and this government job, building roads, planting trees, it's the only thing keeping food on your table. Then your supervisor pulls you aside. There's an election coming up. The party needs help. Knock on some doors, make some calls. Oh, and by the way, your job might depend on it.
Wait, so they could force government workers to campaign?
Not just could, David. They did, regularly. And if you worked for the federal government in the 1930s, saying no could mean losing everything.
So your paycheck came with strings attached?
Exactly. I'm Sarah.
And I'm David. This is 100 Laws That Shaped America.
Today, we take it for granted that the postal worker delivering our mail, the park ranger at Yellowstone, the clerk processing our passport applications, they're not there to push a political agenda. They're public servants, neutral, professional.
But that wasn't always the case?
Not even close. And in 1939, a law called the Hatch Act changed everything. It built a wall between politics and public service, a wall that's still standing today, though not without controversy.
So what made 1939 the breaking point?
To understand that, we need to understand just how massive the federal government had become. When FDR took office in 1933, America was drowning. One in four workers unemployed, banks failing, farms foreclosed, families literally starving.
The Great Depression.
And Roosevelt's response, the New Deal, was unprecedented. Suddenly, the federal government wasn't just writing laws and collecting taxes. It was employing millions of Americans directly. The WPA, the CCC, the TVA, alphabet soup agencies putting people to work.
Which meant millions of people whose livelihoods depended on the government staying in power.
Exactly. And here's where it gets problematic. These weren't just jobs. They were potential political soldiers. Imagine you're a local Democratic Party boss in 1938. You've got thousands of WPA workers in your district. Elections coming up.
You've got a ready-made campaign army.
And they can't really say no, because you control their jobs. So you've got federal employees, paid with taxpayer money, being pressured to campaign, to donate, to use their government positions to influence elections.
That sounds like, well, corruption.
It was. And it wasn't just Democrats. Both parties had done this for decades. It was called the spoil system. To the victor go the spoils. Win an election, reward your supporters with government jobs. Lose an election, watch those jobs disappear.
So every election meant the entire government workforce could turn over?
Potentially, yes. But by the late 1930s, with the government so massive, the stakes were different. You had real power to manipulate elections using federal resources, and Republicans, shut out of power since 1933, were screaming about it.
I'm guessing FDR's party wasn't eager to give up that advantage.
Here's the twist, David. The Hatch Act was signed by FDR himself. The man who arguably benefited most from the system agreed to dismantle it.
Why would he do that?
Partly because the abuses were getting too blatant to ignore, but also because a senator named Carl Hatch from New Mexico, a Democrat, mind you, was genuinely offended by what he saw happening.
What did he see?
Reports of WPA workers being forced to attend political rallies, federal employees being assessed, that's a nice word for extorted, for campaign contributions, supervisors threatening workers' jobs if they didn't support the right candidates. Hatch looked at this and thought, this isn't democracy, this is coercion.
So what did the Hatch Act actually do?
It drew a bright line. Federal employees, with a few exceptions for the highest political appointees, could no longer engage in partisan political activity while on duty, in a government building, wearing a uniform, or using their official authority.
Break that down for me. What counts as partisan political activity?
You can't campaign for candidates. You can't wear campaign buttons at work. You can't use your government office to make campaign calls. You can't pressure subordinates to support your preferred candidate. You can't run for partisan political office yourself.
But you can still vote, right?
Of course. And you can have political opinions. You can attend rallies on your own time as a private citizen. You can even donate to campaigns, though the law restricted how much federal employees could be pressured to give.
So it's not about silencing government workers. It's about preventing the government itself from becoming a political machine.
Exactly. The law established penalties for violations. You could be fired, fined, even face criminal charges. And crucially, it prohibited anyone from using their official authority to influence an election.
That seems reasonable. So why was it controversial?
Because it's a tension, David. On one hand, you want a professional, neutral civil service. On the other hand, federal employees are citizens too. They have First Amendment rights.
So where do you draw the line between I'm a citizen with political views and I'm using my government position for political purposes?
That's the question that's been debated for 85 years, and the line has moved. The Hatch Act was amended in 1940 to cover state and local employees working on federally funded programs. Then in 1993, it was loosened to allow more political activity. Federal employees could campaign for candidates as long as they weren't on duty.
So what's the impact been? Did it work?
In its core mission? Absolutely. Think about what we don't see anymore. When was the last time you heard about the entire Department of Agriculture being mobilized to campaign for a presidential candidate? When did a postal worker last threaten to delay your mail unless you voted a certain way?
Never, at least not in my lifetime.
That's the Hatch Act working. It created something we now take completely for granted. The idea that government services continue regardless of who's in power, that the bureaucracy isn't a partisan weapon.
That's actually pretty profound. Like, when I go to renew my driver's license, I'm not wondering if the clerk is going to treat me differently based on my political views.
Right. And that's not a small thing. It's fundamental to how democracy functions. The Hatch Act established that there's a category of public servants who serve the public, not a party.
But it's still controversial today, isn't it?
It is. In 2018, there were high-profile cases of Trump administration officials accused of Hatch Act violations, using government resources for political purposes. Some people argued the law was being weaponized politically. Others said it wasn't being enforced enough.
What kind of violations are we talking about?
Things like a government official appearing at a political convention from the White House, or using an official government Twitter account to attack a political opponent, or promoting a candidate while on official duty.
And people still do that, even with the Hatch Act?
The law is only as strong as its enforcement, David. And enforcement has been inconsistent. The Office of Special Counsel investigates violations, but the penalties aren't always severe. Some people have argued the law needs teeth. Others say it needs to be repealed entirely, that it infringes on government workers' rights.
Do federal employees resent it, being restricted in their political activity?
Some do. Imagine you're passionate about climate change, and you work for the EPA. You can't run for city council on a platform of environmental protection, not without resigning your job. You can't organize a campaign rally, even on your own time, if you're in a supervisory position.
That does seem limiting, but I guess the alternative is worse?
That's the calculation. The Hatch Act says, in exchange for the stability and neutrality of public service, government employees accept certain restrictions. You give up some political freedom to ensure the government itself remains free from partisan manipulation.
And in our current political climate, where everything feels partisan, that neutrality seems more important than ever.
It does. But here's what's interesting. The Hatch Act only covers the federal civil service. It doesn't apply to the president, vice president, or certain high-level political appointees. They're expected to be political.
So there's still a political layer at the top, but the machinery underneath runs on neutral ground.
That's the theory. And for the most part, it works. When administrations change, we don't see mass firings of park rangers and postal workers and food inspectors. The government continues functioning.
That's actually remarkable when you think about it. Like, imagine if every election meant replacing everyone at the DMV.
We'd never get our licenses renewed. But that's exactly what could happen without the Hatch Act. And it's what did happen before 1939. Government was inefficient, corrupt, and constantly disrupted by political turnover.
So this law that most people have never heard of is actually protecting something we use every single day.
That's exactly right. The Hatch Act is invisible when it's working. You only notice it when it breaks down, when someone violates it, or when there's a debate about where the boundary should be.
Has anyone ever tried to repeal it?
There have been efforts, especially from federal employee unions who argue it's too restrictive. But it survived because the core principle is so compelling. Taxpayer money shouldn't fund political campaigns. Government power shouldn't be used to manipulate elections.
So it's still on the books, still enforced, kind of, and still controversial.
And still shaping America. Every day, millions of federal employees go to work knowing there's a line they can't cross. They can serve the public or serve a party, but not both at the same time.
You know what strikes me? In 1939, in the middle of the Depression, with democracy under threat around the world, fascism rising in Europe, communism in the Soviet Union, America decided to restrain itself.
To say, we could use this power. We could turn the government into a political weapon, but we won't.
That takes a certain kind of faith in democracy.
It does. The Hatch Act is an act of self-restraint. It's America telling itself, we're better than this. Our government workers aren't political pawns. They're professionals serving all of us, regardless of who wins elections.
And 85 years later, that principle is still holding.
Still holding. Still debated. Still shaping how government works. The Hatch Act, a law most Americans have never heard of, protecting something we all depend on, a government that serves the people, not a party.
Next time you mail a letter, visit a national park, or interact with any federal employee, remember, there's a law making sure that person is there to serve you, not to campaign at you.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm David. Thanks for listening to 100 Laws That Shaped America.